Have you done meditation before?
Yes, in Mekongsong, Wat Kamoa. Last year, about half a year. I mean, this year was a half year.
Where else?
In Wat Kamoa. Tamua. In Mekongsong. 6 hours from Chiang Mai. It's also in the forest monastery.
Were there many Farangs? Many Westerners? Were there many Westerners?
Yes. About every day we have 100 people. About 100 people we have in, and then 70% of the foreigners.
That's a lot. So what did they teach you there? Anapanasati? And what brings you here? What brings you here? This monastery? Why do you come to this monastery?
I like want to learn about the Mahabua. So it's not quite the same like the forest line.
Yeah.
So I just wonder what kind of teaching the Ajahn.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not too familiar with what they teach at Tambua. But here, this is the Forest University. Why do we call it Forest University? You can make 4 degrees. Sotapanna Sakadagami Anagami Arahant. That's why it's called the Forest University. I'm sure that there are forest kindergartens, forest primary schools, forest high schools. Yeah. And this is the Forest University. That's what Lungta Mahapo called it, the Forest University. It's not my idea. And why? Because he stressed the path out of dukkha. Always. In all his teaching. He was talking about the path out of dukkha. So the fourth noble truth. The noble truth about sila, samadhi, panya. Yeah. Sila, I mean, when we are here in this monastery, we keep the 8 precepts. The 5 precepts are norma. Not to harm any living being, not to take what is not given, no sexual misconduct, no lies, harsh speech, no alcohol, no drugs. These are 5 precepts. The 8 precepts, the 3rd precept changes into no sexual conduct. What is it? No eating after midday. And not lying on high beds. And not using perfumes and dancer shows and so on. Going to dancer shows. It's their season, mating season. So, in samadhi, it is important being able to concentrate on one point. There are 3 stages of samadhi. There's upachara samadhi, there's apana samadhi, and kanika samadhi. So, upachara samadhi is normally when your thoughts stop. How does it feel like when thoughts stop? Can you do it? After half a year, you still can't do it.
It's been so hard.
Huh?
So hard.
Yes. That's what we have to, I mean, that's why we have to get at least until we can, we cannot do any panya, any investigation, if you don't have samadhi. Yeah? I mean, try to cut, you know, try to cut a tomato with a blunt knife. Can you do it? No, you squash it, yeah? You don't see anything of it. If you don't have samadhi, that means we don't, our knife is not sharp, yeah? So at least we need upachara samadhi, so that's why it's so important, yeah? Having the ability to concentrate on one object without the mind going somewhere else for at least 10 minutes, then we can start with the investigation. Yeah? People don't stress it enough. Yeah? It is like you want to go into the dark. I mean, you came yesterday, so you know it is quite dark, yeah? Huh? Without a flashlight. Or with a very weak flashlight. What do you see? Yeah? Not a lot. Yeah? You stumble over this, you don't even know what you stumble over. Yeah? No. Samadhi is like the flashlight. Yeah? Or it is like the sharpness of a knife. Before we can use it, yeah, to investigate, we need to know what it is. Yeah? So, that's why we need to put our flashlight, to put our sati onto the object that we want to investigate. So upachara samadhi is just a state, you know, where thought stops. Yeah? I mean, and that is what we all wish for in our heart. We want to have happiness. We want to be content. Yeah? And that's where all the worries stop. Yeah? Where loneliness stops. Where everything stops. There's no fear when there is samadhi. Yeah? There's no loneliness because there's no thought. It's only thought that brings up fear. It's only thought that brings up worries. It's only thought that brings up future and past. Yeah? It's only thoughts that bring up loneliness. You're not lonely, you're connected with the heart. Yeah? That's why upachara samadhi is so important. Yeah? And that's why the Lord Buddha, you know, taught it. Yeah? It's part of the path that leads to the end of dukkha. And dukkha is, I have to explain it, you know, once in a while, dukkha is not only suffering, that is an English translation. It's not. Dukkha is boredom, restlessness, dis-ease, discontent, yeah? Discomfort. Yeah? And it is, of course, pain and suffering. Yeah? All of this is dukkha. Just picking one of the many words, yeah, as a translation, you know, misleads us. There are few people. There are quite a few people who suffer, yeah. But none of us would say I'm suffering, yeah. So I don't have dukkha. That's not true. Of course, we have dukkha. I mean, all beings that are born into one of these 32 realms have dukkha. Or is it 31? That means the heavenly beings have dukkha. Huh? Yeah? And can you imagine, you know, being in heaven having dukkha? Do you suffer in heaven? Huh? Sandy? You'll be happy, yeah? Most of the time. But you still have dukkha. So how can it be suffering? Yeah? It's this discomfort, you know? And it comes up, you know, in the heavenly realms it comes up. Not very often, but once in a while, yeah? The higher the heavenly realm, yeah? The less you experience it. But it's still there. Yeah? And that's what the Lord Buddha said. You know, and that's why he said, all the beings in all the realms have dukkha. I mean, of course, in the hell realm, they have only dukkha. Yeah? But in the heavenly realm, they still have to come. Once in a while, yeah. And that is what we have to understand, yeah. People don't have... If you say, you know, beings in the heavenly realm suffer, you know, then you don't understand the first noble truth. If you don't understand the first noble truth, I mean, how can we find the path that leads to the end of dukkha? Yeah? Do you understand it? So, dukkha. Everyone has dukkha. And we have dukkha very, very often, yeah? As human beings. Yeah? Why do we eat? Dukkha. Yeah, why do we sleep? Dukkha. Yeah? Why do we drink? Dukkha. Yeah? Why do we grab hold onto the phone? Dukkha. Dukkha. Yeah. All the reasons, you know, for doing something is because of dukkha. And that's what we realize when we are in upachara samadhi. There is nothing. We don't want it. Yeah? We don't want anything. We are contented with the things the way they are. Yeah? And that is so important. That's why we have to get to this upachara samadhi to see, yeah, this truth. Yeah? At the times of the Lord Buddha, you know, that wasn't a question. Most of the people could easily get there. Yeah? Samadhi, not only samadhi, but jhanas. Yeah? Lots of these ascetics. Yeah. But for our times, it is very difficult. And the younger you are, the more difficult it is. Yeah? Because, I mean, just look around you. Yeah? When you're in Japan, you know, I mean, look around the people, you know, in the south. Yeah? Or in the train, yeah? What do they do? Constantly playing around with their phone, yeah? I mean, in France, the same thing. In Germany, I saw the same thing, yeah? Wherever they are, you know, they play around, yeah? I mean, to get that mind to stability, I mean, it is extremely difficult, yeah? I mean, Michelle is the only older one, you know, who knows, you know, I mean, when we were born, when we were raised, you know, I mean, there was one phone that was in the home when we were not home. I mean, they could ring as long as they wanted. We didn't even know that there was somebody calling us. What a relief, yeah? And TV wasn't yet that great, you know. I mean, I didn't have a TV until I was 16, and then I wasn't interested. Yeah? Yeah? So, I mean, all these things, all this distraction, yeah? And the young generation is born with this distraction, yeah? So, I mean, they constantly, and I see the kids, you know, coming in the morning here in Thailand, yeah? I mean, 7 years old, constantly, I mean, they're constantly playing with their phones, you know, the games that are on the phone, oh, looking up this or looking up that. So how is it possible for them? It is much more difficult for them to get the mind calm. Then for us, you know, who is a little bit older, you know, who knows? I mean, we could live very well, yeah? I mean, we had much more imagination than the younger generation, yeah? Because the only thing we had was the forest, you know, that was in front of our door. That's where we played, yeah? Or the fields, yeah? Our bicycle, yeah? Yeah? So it is a little bit easier for us, you know, because we weren't that distracted from the beginning. So it is more difficult for the younger generation to get their mind calm. Because they were raised with all these things. Distraction, 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 wherever you look, yeah? So, upachara samadhi is the important thing, you know, because that's where we find happiness or where we find contentment, yeah? That's where we know there is something else, yeah? Beyond all this, what we see. Because normally we believe we find happiness or we can find happiness in the world, yeah? All the advertisements tell us, you know, you buy this and you find happiness, yeah? And we believe it. Not 100%, but, you know, 70%. No, it's not 100%, but you know, 70%, maybe they are right, yeah? Maybe we find our happiness, yeah? I mean, advertisement picks on the thing that leads to dukkha, on greed, yeah? On desires, yeah? We want to satisfy desire, and that is impossible, because if that desire is satisfied, we have another one, yeah? We were just eating, you know, having a nice meal, and then we want an ice cream, or we want, yeah, a dessert, or coffee, or things like that. And after that, we want, you know, to move around, yeah? Want to visit this, or want to visit that, and look at this, or look at that. And advertisement feeds on this desire, yeah? Promises us, just like the Kilesas. I mean, they are just like the Kilesas, you know, I mean, outside on billboards. Kilesas are the fence of avijja. Avijja is the power that creates this universe, or keeps us in this universe. Avijja pataya, pataya sankhara. Avijja is the condition for all the phenomena to arise, yeah? So, I mean, it's a paticca samuppada. Greed, hatred, and delusion are just the soldiers, just the armies of avijja. Yeah? Just to know. Yeah? So let's go back to samadhi. It's really important because then the kilesas are gone. They are outside, you know. I mean, we lock them out. Just like, you know, you don't like certain people. Yeah, when they come to your house, you know, you say no, you can't come in. Yeah. So you lock them out. Yeah? Sooner or later, they find a way to get in. You know, or they persuade you why they need to get into your heart. Yeah? But that is the way. Upachara samadhi is the way to lock them out for a moment. Yeah. When we come out of upachara samadhi, that's when we open it again. Yeah, and that's where they come in again and destroy our heart. Yeah. You like to feel sorry? You like to feel depressed? That's what they do with you. Yeah. They get you all up in excitement, yeah? Positive excitement or negative excitement. Yeah? Negative excitement is fear. Yeah, it's one of the big negative excitement. Yeah, worries is another excitement. Yeah, excitement can be positive or can be negative, depending on how we value it. Yeah. So that is one type of samadhi, upachara samadhi. Yeah? And all what we have to do is keep our attention on the tip of the nose and observe the breath going in, going out. Yeah? We do not follow the breath. Yeah? We just observe. Know that the breath is going in. Know that the breath is going out. Know that the breath is deep. Know that the breath is shallow. Know that the breath is long. Know that the breath is short. Why is it so important to know about the breath? It's not only, you know, to know it going in, going out, but to know its detail. Yeah? Because this knowing, is that what we need to develop? It is the sati that comes from the heart. Yeah? And sati is nothing else than awareness or knowingness. Yeah? So, anapanasati leads us to our heart. Now when we go on, when we are in upachara samadhi and go on and train on on the breath, yeah, keep our attention on the breath, then there will be a moment when the breath becomes so subtle, yeah, we still, and then our attention, our sati drops back to the heart, yeah, and then we know that the breath is going in. We can't feel it anymore, yeah. That's where most people have difficulties. I can't feel my breath, yeah? So, I mean, then they breathe in heavily, yeah? No. Just know that the breath is going in, yeah? Until there comes a moment where the breath stops. And then you know that the breath stops, yeah? And then you jump into this knowingness, yeah? People always ask me how to jump into this knowingness. Yeah? I mean, the moment you see that there's a pool of water, I mean, I cannot explain how to jump in. You know, I just say, jump into the pool of water. Yeah. Understand? If you see that knowingness, you know, jump in. Yeah. How to jump in, you know, I cannot explain. Yeah, I cannot explain you how to jump into the pool. You know, you see a pool of water, and I say, jump in. Yeah, that's where you go in. Yeah, you know how to do that. So, and then you come to a stage that is called Apana Samadhi, yeah? Deep Samadhi, yeah? The state of deep Samadhi. Before this happens, we will realize that the awareness concentrates more and more inside. Yeah? That means all these things, all the external things go farther and further away. Yeah? It is like you're going into a deep tunnel, yeah? Or well, yeah? Slowly sinking in. In the beginning you still see 180 degrees, and then the less, you know, the deeper you go, the less you see. Yeah? And that is like disappearing of the body, disappearing of the senses. They are all far, far, far away. They get further away and further away until there's nothing left. Yeah? And that is then Apana Samadhi, then there's nothing left. Yeah? There's no body, there's no world, there's nothing. Yeah? People can't disturb you. When you come out, the only thing, there's nothing there. Yeah, it's just like running into the earth, going into a deep well. There's nothing there. Yeah? Except knowingness. Yeah? And that's why we can't say anything about Apana Samadhi. Yeah? We can only say knowingness. Yeah? I went in and I came out, and space and time has stopped. Yeah? There's no space. Yeah. There is no time. So you go in one moment and the next moment you come out. Yeah? But in that time, you know, 2 hours can have passed, yeah? Or days can have passed. Yeah? But you weren't aware of it. Because knowingness doesn't know any object. That's where time comes in and space comes in. Yeah? It just knows. Yeah? Whatever, however you call it, you can't describe it, because our language is always based on subject and object. Yeah? But if subject and object merge into one point, yeah, that's why Apana Samadhi is also called one-pointedness, you can't say anything. There's nothing, yeah. You can say it's great, yeah. You come out, you know, and you want to go back in, yeah. Because that's where we find ultimate rest, yeah. That's where we can recharge. That's why you have to go there. You feel like, you know, putting your 2 fingers into a AC outlet. Yeah? Completely recharged. Then you don't have to worry about all the energy that is lost. Yeah? And that's all what we have to do, is just keeping our attention on the breath. Yeah? And Kanika Samadhi is something, you know, sometimes, and it happens in our course, in our developing Upachara Samadhi, that we for 1 second drop into this deep Samadhi and then instantly come out. Yeah? That is called Kanika Samadhi or momentary Samadhi. Yeah? Sometimes happens, and you wonder what just happened, you know, and you come out. That is the important thing, yeah. I mean, that is sharpening our knife, yeah. And then we develop wisdom, yeah. And that's what, you know, most of the time Lungta was talking about, developing wisdom. What do we do? Yeah? We investigate the body. Yeah. And through investigation of the body, you can finish 3 degrees. At the Forest University. Sotapanna, Sakadagami, Anaka. Yeah? Once you finish investigation of the body, yeah, and bodily feeling, yeah, most of the time, you know, feeling is included, yeah, then you still have the mind khandhas, yeah, the group of memory association and the group of thought, yeah, ideas, views, and consciousness. But through investigation of the body, I mean, you get rid of 2 armies of the avijja. And that is greed and hatred. Yeah? And that's who doesn't have any more greed and who doesn't have any more hatred is not reborn anymore. It's called a non-return. So we start with the investigation of the body. Huh? We can do that through some reflection if we don't have upachara samadhi yet. Huh? Thinking about, you know, the hair of the head. Huh? Or the skin. Or the teeth. Or the nails. Yeah? Or we can reflect about birth, old age, sickness and death. I mean, we see that not so often. I mean, our society sometimes reminds me of the times when the Lord Buddha was kept in his palace. Yeah? There were only young people, there were no ill people, there were no dead people, yeah? And there were no sick people. What do we do in our Western society? The sick people we put in hospitals, yeah? The dead people, you know, we put under the earth, yeah? Don't see them. Or put into caskets, so we can't see them, yeah? So we see only young people, yeah? Sometimes old people. Yeah? Old people we put in old people's home, yeah? So they don't get in our way anymore. Yeah? It's very similar, yeah, isn't it? Yeah. To the times, you know, when the Lord Buddha still was in the palace, you know, whenever he saw young people, you know, lots of joy and yeah, and so on. Yeah? And that's when he went out, yeah. He saw the sick people, he saw the dead people, yeah? And he saw the old aged people. Yeah? And then he saw a samana. That was the sign for him, you know, to become a samana, or a practitioner. So we investigate the body, yeah? So starting with the hair. Yeah? I mean, as long as the hair is on your head, you like it. When it falls down into the drain, mixed with soap, you find it disgusting. When you eat your food, you like it, yeah? You even like it when it's still in your stomach, but you don't like to look at it when it comes out. Why? Why do we find everything that comes out of the body disgusting and everything that comes into the body we like? Why is that? This contemplation of the body is called asupa. Asupa means loathsome. Yeah? It is not that we have to make the body loathsome, we find it loathsome. Just ask friends who have studied, you know, to be a doctor. The first time they open a corpse, they either throw up or they fall unconscious. Why is that? Why do we loathe this body so much? Yeah? We like it, you know, to a certain degree, but we loathe it to the same degree. Yeah? That's where greed and hate comes in. Yeah? Greed is liking, yeah, and hate is disliking. Yeah? So we like the body to the same degree, or sometimes even more, and we dislike it. That's why investigation of the body is so important. There's no other way, you know, if we can't investigate the body, we will not finish any of the degrees. Yeah? And that is the main, it is one of the main topics of Lungta Mahapo. He always, when you read the books, he always talks about body contemplation. Yeah? Because it is so important, yeah. And if people don't know how to contemplate the body properly, yeah, to get an idea about it, yeah, it's not you. Yeah? It's the same thing. Yeah, I mean, just imagine you were born in a car and die in the car, then you think you are the car. But you're not the car. Huh? You're born in a body, you die in a body, and you think you are the body. But you're not the body. It's the body that dies. The other things don't die. Huh? The other khandhas die, but they're very quickly. Feeling dies very quickly. Yeah? Memories die very quickly. Thoughts die very quickly. Consciousness dies even more quickly. Yeah? All these khandhas constantly arise and cease. Yeah? I mean, with the body we say, are born and die. Yeah? The body is the longest one. Yeah? And takes on a long time. You know, it has also all these different kinds of side effects, yeah, like sickness, old age, yeah, all these unpleasant things. So it is important to understand we are not this body, yeah, and to understand that we are not this body, yeah, I mean, makes us ready for entering the stream. If we cut down the first two fetters, the fetter of doubt, yeah. The fetter of doubt that there's heaven or there's hell, that there are beings in heaven and there are beings in hell, and there's karma and there are results of karma, yeah? Results of good karma, yeah, and results of bad karma. Yeah? That is the first fetter. The second fetter, you know, I mean, it's not keeping the sila, not keeping the precept. Yeah? And the third fetter is to understand, yeah, get out of this body, you know, and look at the body, and then you see you're not the body. That's so difficult, yeah? Somebody knocks at the window of your car and says, get out, you know? But you don't know how to get out, huh? Just like that person who is born in a car, he doesn't know how to get out, yeah? And to compare it with a car, I mean, it's not a bad comparison, huh? I mean, you can call it, yeah? Nowadays, you know, we create these fantastic robots, yeah? Yeah. This is nothing else, you know, we are captured in a robot, yeah? Sit inside, yeah? A robot can do more things, yeah? Than a car. Huh? A robot can go into a car and drive a car, yeah? Probably in the future, yeah? This body, and that is something that we really have to understand, so that we get a little bit detached. This body is nothing else than a very sophisticated biological robot. Yeah? I mean, we know that even when we look at cars, you know, cars are built and they last for a while and then they deteriorate. Yeah, a body is built, you know, and lasts for a while and then it deteriorates. Yeah, everything that is in this universe lasts for a while and then it deteriorates. Yeah, our solar system will deteriorate. Yeah. It is already on the path to deteriorate. Other solar systems, you know, are just born, you know. So, this body, yeah, is nothing else. Everything in this universe, yeah, arises and ceases. Yeah? It stays on for a while. Yeah? Some things stay longer, other things stay shorter. Yeah? So, we are inhabiting, yeah, and the problem is that we believe we are this biological object. We believe, yeah? When you look in the mirror, then you say, it's me. What is you? What is you? That is a good question. Are you your thoughts? The thoughts have changed, you know? Are you your memories? The memories have changed. I mean, we have inherent within us, at least if we are spiritual, we know that we are eternal. Yeah? We have the belief we are eternal. But nothing that we associate with us is eternal. But there is something that is eternal. Yeah? And that's exactly when you go into Apana Samadhi. That's where eternity is. Because time is, there's no time. There's no space. Yeah? That's where you meet yourself, your true self. Yeah? But you can't call it a self anymore because yourself is the same as his self, yeah? It's a nature, yeah? The true nature of the citta. And everything else, yeah? We just attach to it, yeah? It's just like, you know, you go into your apartment, you know? All these things that are in your apartment, you attach to it, yeah? You light them one time, you bought them and you put them there, yeah? And all what you have to do is look after them, constantly dust them off, you know? What a waste of time, yeah? So to see and to understand that the body is not self, yeah? I mean, that is the third fetter, you know, and if we have already, you know, taken care of the first and second fetter, that is our portal to stream entry, yeah? And then we still investigate the body, yeah? Then we are much more going inside of the body, yeah? And looking at the loathsomeness, yeah? Opening it just like people, you know, who open a corpse, you know, in a medical faculty, or, you know, when they open a corpse, you know, for detective reasons, for police reasons, yeah? They find a corpse, you know, they have to analyze it. These kind of corpses are much more worse than the corpses, you know, from people who just died, you know, peacefully or, you know, from a sickness. Yeah? Water corpses, yeah? Blown up, you know, I mean immense, yeah? Sting. It's not us. We can see it, yeah? And that is the understanding that has to take place, yeah? So don't put too much value on this body, yeah? Keep it healthy, you know, and that's all. I mean, and it's amazing, you know, you who live in this monastery for a while now, I mean, how little we have to do to take care of our body. We eat once a day, yeah? We take a shower once a day, yeah? How long does it take? 2.5 hours and it's finished. And then we still have 21 hours, yeah? 3 hours of sleep, you know, we still have 18 hours to practice. Yeah? That's as little as we take care. When we are in the world, I mean, we take care of the body nearly 18 hours a day. Yeah? We have to work, we have to eat, we have to sleep. Yeah? And how much free time do we have? Maybe this 2.5 hours, yeah? That we use to take care of the body here. So when you're in the world, I mean, there's constantly something in that you have to do. And it's all about the body. It's to clothe the body, to feed the body, to house the body, take care of the body when it's sick. And here in this monastery, I mean, that's why it's such a great place, yeah? We have most of the time, we have really free, yeah? For taking care of the citta. The driver inside this car, yeah? Next time, look, you know, when the car is driving, you know, you see somebody sitting inside, yeah? That's you, sitting inside the body. Yeah? Driving this body. Yeah? There was a great movie, you know, when where somebody was sitting in the brain of a big, tall statue, yeah? And then moving it around, yeah? That's very similar to us. The citta is there. It is close to the heart, and from the heart, yeah, from the physical heart, it controls his body. But we can all know that. Yeah? But without sati, we will not know. Yeah? We will just go on, yeah? Sleeping around, sleeping, dreaming. Yeah, I mean, we love that. I mean, we love to live in a world of dreams. Yeah? Tomorrow is better, yeah? Next life is better. That's the Asian dream, yeah? The Westerns don't think about next life because for them there is no next life. I mean, they would be afraid if there is a next life, yeah? But for the Asians, they say, next life is better, yeah? But we say tomorrow will be better. Yeah? You always have these hopes, you know, that tomorrow will be better. Yeah? If today is not good, tomorrow will be no good, yeah? If today is good, tomorrow might be good, yeah? That's the only thing. We can only work, you know, from that present moment, yeah? So investigate the body, you know, if you don't have enough samadhi, just reflect about the body, yeah? From the birth, you know, to death, yeah? From sickness, go through your sickness that you had, yeah? And how you felt, yeah? We all felt, when we really had a serious sickness, we all felt that we are dying. Yeah? oh, I can't do anything. I'm stuck in this, you know, I'm dying. Yeah? 5 days later, we are healthy again, and there's no more thought of dying. Yeah? Where is it coming from? Yeah? We can't move our body and we feel bad. Yeah? Why? Why should we feel bad? You know, I mean, the citta is not the body. Yeah? If we can't move the body, you know, we are just happy lying down. Yeah? Yeah? If we can move it, you know, then we can do something. Or not do something. Yeah? We are the masters, yeah, or we should be the masters, but there is this other power, the kilesas, you know, who take charge, who also have control over the body. Yeah? We don't know them, but if you did meditation before, you will constantly hear them. They tell you, that is nice, that is not so nice, that I like, that I don't like, this I have to do, this I don't have to do. That's called the kilesas. This inner voice, huh? That's not you. You can hear it. We know that there is a voice telling us what we have to do. Huh? But who knows that there is a voice? Huh? Yes, the citta knows. That's the essence. That's our essence. That knows. Yeah? That's why we have to get there. It knows, but it cannot do anything. Yeah? It's just like the observer. Yeah? Just when you go to a movie, yeah? It knows that there is a movie. Yeah? But there's somebody else, you know? When you sit in the theater, you know, I mean, suddenly you're gone. Where are you? In the movie. You laugh, you cry, yeah? You get afraid, yeah? And sometimes you want to change the script. But there's something that knows that is just a movie, yeah? You can't change anything, yeah? So why to get upset, yeah? Or why to enjoy, yeah? And it's just some pixels, some colors, you know, on the screen and some sound, yeah? That's all, yeah? So this knowingness knows this inner voice that constantly, I mean, if you have a partner that constantly tells you what your inner voice tells, I mean, you will get rid of them immediately, yeah? Do you like somebody, a friend, you know, who tells you, I don't like this, I like this, you know, I want this, I don't want this, yeah? Constantly, 24 hours a day. Huh? You like that? No? You would kick him out, yeah? So, and that's what we have to do with this voice. We have to kick it out, yeah? And we kick it out by constantly replacing, yeah? Whenever this voice comes in, we replace it with Buddha. And then we replace it with Buddha, and with Buddha, yeah? Or, you know, we replace it with your attention on the breath. Yeah? Whatever suits you, yeah? That is the way you know how to get calm. When this voice stops, that's when we are in Upachara Samadhi. Yeah? Okay, that's enough for today. Yeah. You have any questions? Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Ladies first. I just have the same question as last time.
Yeah? I mean, don't ask me to remember what was the question.
The memory is arising and ceasing.
Yeah?
About the fasting.
Oh, you want to fast? Yeah, try it out for 3 days.
Okay.
Or you want to do it longer?
Maybe. I was thinking about 6 or 7. I'm leaving next Monday. Today is Sunday. I'm leaving next Monday.
Yeah, then otherwise,
I was thinking about to do it the week or maybe the 6 days.
Yeah, do it until Friday, 5 days. Yeah. And then you're leaving on Monday?
Yeah.
Yeah, then eat Saturday and Sunday. Yeah.
And Monday. That's why I was thinking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's why I was thinking 6 days.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead and see, yeah? But don't become lazy, yeah?
Yeah. What do you mean, don't become lazy?
They don't sleep too long.
About this, don't worry.
Yeah, because that is what happens, you know, if you fast longer. I mean, the first 3 days, I mean, you strive hard, and then, you know, suddenly, you know, this comfort of not having to do anything, you know, goes in, and then you sleep a little bit longer, you feel hungry, you sleep a little bit longer, and then laziness kicks in. And that's why I said, you know, I mean, be careful, yeah.
Okay.
Then you relax a little bit more. Relax, relax, relax.
Nice.
I mean, there's a way, you know. I mean, once we can control our mind, yeah? Once we can, you know, put our attention on one spot, yeah? We can put it on the spots where we feel it is tense, yeah? And then just, you know, give or send the intention, relax, yeah? And we can do that with all the parts of the body, you know, and it becomes completed, the body becomes completely relaxed. Yeah? I mean, once we have this satya, I mean, it is a very useful tool, yeah? Investigating all sorts of things. Yeah?
Can we use at that time the breath also to...
Yeah, I mean, you can use the breath, you know, I mean, to breathe through, or you can, you know, you can just send the intention to relax, you know. Mm-hmm. Just like, you know, you send the intention to open the hands, yeah, or close the hands. But we don't know all these things because they're automatic, yeah.
Even to cure also,
huh?
to heal, to send the breath to heal. In some part,
what is it?
To heal.
Oh, heal.
Healing.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That's what Ajahn Lidya Madero was teaching.
Yes, I mean, that's how we can do. Yeah? But we need this, you know, we need this concentration, otherwise, yeah? And we need to know how to send intentions. Yeah? We need to know what is the difference between a thought and an intention. I have the thought to open my hand. My hand doesn't open. I really want to open this hand, yeah? Doesn't open. I do have to send a physical intention, you know, that opens the hand, yeah? And that's the same thing, you know. When I say I want to relax, yeah, of course, you know, I mean, it's still tense, yeah? You really have to send the intention. And that's why, you know, this meditation gives us a big tool, yeah? The concentration knows exactly the difference between a thought, yeah, between knowingness, between this voice, between an intention and the thought. Before every thought comes an intention to think, and it tells us only the direction. Then the thought slowly develops, and then we see what kind of direction it takes exactly. We are in the dark, we live in the dark, we don't know anything about this body. We have programmed it for the first 15 years, yeah? You learn to walk, you learn to talk, first you learn to digest, then you learn to walk, then you learn to talk, then you learn to think. For 15, 16 years you train this body. And now it can do anything, and then you're not interested anymore. At that time, when you learned it, you knew how to do it. Yeah? And now we have to go back to this time. Yeah? It's just like learning how to drive a car. Yeah? Now we do it automatically, but you know, in the beginning you had to think. See, you know, the results of, you know, steering this, you know, and so. Now we can do it. Yeah? Just like you tie your shoelaces, yeah? I mean, how long took it the first time? Yeah? And now you can do it, you know, while talking to somebody else, yeah? But at that time, you know, when we were learning it, we need 100% concentration. That's a key, yeah? We programmed this body, yeah, for 15 years. You remember that? You don't want to remember, nobody wants to remember it, yeah? Because it was hard work and we couldn't wait until it was finished, yeah? We couldn't wait until we were 18 where we could use it, you know, to our full pleasure, yeah? And now we noticed, Michelle knows it, now it starts to break apart. It doesn't work anymore, you know, just like we used to program. I notice it the same time. I'm your age,
Younger?
You're born 56, or?
52.
64. Yeah. That doesn't really matter, you know, these 3 years. Okay, I understand. Yeah. But you stay only for 2 days.
This time?
Yeah.
Just stay in 2 weeks in.
Huh?
2 weeks. Just come to friend. Just come to help the, my friend.
Mm.
My friend, a Japanese man, get married to Thai wife, and then my friend, Japanese man, died in Japan. And then Thai wife want to have the cloud, the bone. So just bring to the Udon-tani. Okay, let's go to the doctor. So just a couple of days stay.
What are you doing in Japan? What kind of work are you doing?
I'm selling food.
Huh?
Like a promotion.
Promotion, selling food.
If buy one, get two or something.
Advertisement business.
Yes.
Okay.
May I have my question?
Your question.
When it's what Kanika Samadhi.
Yeah.
When you enter Kanika Samadhi, what happened? Because very often it happened to me to, you know, jump and immediately.
Yeah, it jumps in and out. Yeah.
So is it something like that, or is
it? It can be.
Or is it sommeil, sleep?
I mean, you know, when you come out that you haven't slept, that it wasn't sleep.
No. Yeah. Because this happened quite.
Yeah. It can happen quite often, you know, that you go in and you go out very quickly. Yeah. But when you come out and you feel tired, then you have slept.
Okay.
Yeah. When you feel refreshed, then you haven't. Then you have entered actually
kind of person. And another thing is, younger, I have since a long time. I'm conscious that this body is a burden.
Mm-hmm.
It's heavy.
Mm-hmm.
It's take a lot of care and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went out of the ashram, you know,
mm-hmm.
I left the ashram. For me, it has been really difficult to. Just accept to live life, you know, as it lay, and and I had to do the opposite work, just to find some pleasure, and try to be interested and curious and seeing for which I had no more interest. As things of the life, you know, and things like that. Just the opposite thing, and to try to keep my body, to take care of my body, and give some interest to my body, all the opposite way, you know. And also after when I was doing my nurse. Working as nurse, I was always thinking I'm doing my Buddhist meditation.
Your what? Your Buddhist meditation.
I'm doing my Buddhist meditation when I was studying nurse and working as nurse, you know?
Yeah.
And always with people dying in my arms, you know, and just, wow, it's completely magical. You know, in 1 second, there is nobody there anymore. And...
sometimes they hang around. Sometimes. Yeah. But most of the time they instantly gone.
Push people from the bed because they don't want nobody to be in their bed. And the people fall down. Mm. And also, I could see, you know, the organs, the pure. And I was always thinking I'm doing my Buddhist meditation. But this never drive me to...
But, I mean... that you saw it but your heart didn't see it. You didn't tell the heart, look at it. You know, that is what is happening with my body. Yeah? That's where how we do investigation. You know, we investigate other people's body and see, you know, that is how my body is. Yeah. When we open up a corpse, yeah, we look very closely. Yeah. Just flesh. Yeah. I mean, opening up a corpse of a human being or a corpse of an animal, I mean, it's the same thing. Yeah, it's a corpse, you know. I mean, it's not alive, you know. It is only alive if there is the chitta inside. Yeah. In the moment, you know, the chitta is gone, and when the body is, yeah, not repairable anymore, yeah. Then the chitta is gone, you know, and then all what is left is just some bones and flesh and meat and, yeah.
I had already that reflection to come back to my body and say, oh, it's all what we are, and smelling and mm-hmm. everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad, but you know, it hasn't gotten to the heart. Also, what people don't see, you know, I mean, when they live in the world, I mean, actually, they could get very, very intelligent, yeah? In a Buddhist way. Yeah? They can look, you know, I mean, okay, I do this, you know, what do I get from it, yeah? Is that pleasure, or what is pleasure, what is pain, you know, what is excitement, what is not excitement, yeah? Is that so fulfilling or not, yeah? If you don't ask this question, we can do it as long as we want and we don't get the answers, yeah? But if you constantly ask, okay, I'm doing this, you know, what is the result of my doing? I'm looking at this, what is the result of my looking at this, you know, what do I see, yeah?
I could see that there are some things which are gone from me by that way. Mm-hmm. Before I practice, many things have been regulated, and by that way, just.
I mean that is fine, but you know, I mean, what you're driving at, you know, I mean, it's not yet clear. See, that's why you have to do it more. Okay. More questions?
Huh? It was very driving to depression.
Yeah, I mean, that is certainly not, you know, that's not the right thing.
But maybe with knowing now the Dhamma and the practice of Dhamma, maybe it will be better and not to drive to depression state as it was before.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I said you didn't look rightly. You didn't look in with the eyes of Dhamma. Yeah. You looked at it, you know, and there was always, you know, this disgust or the dislike, you know, in it. So you saw, you know, it's a nature, but there still was the dislike in it.
Yeah?
I mean, when the Dhamma looks at it, there's neither dislike nor is likes. Yeah, and that's why it understands. Yeah, that's when we do the daily reflection. You know what happened? You know this day. We cannot have dislikes and likes in it, otherwise the heart will not understand
it. No judgment. Yeah. No judgment, no, I don't want.
No comment, no
want.
Comments, no evaluation, you know, we just look, what did I think when I woke up, what did I do then, what happened then, you know, we go through our day, yeah. That's also how we train our memory, yeah. It's very important, we need this memory, yeah. I mean, we need all the tools. We need the body as a tool, you know, we need feelings, yeah. We need thoughts, yeah, right thoughts, you know, and we need also the memory, yeah, to be able to compare it. Yeah? What is the feeling of fear? What is the feeling of pain? What is the feeling of, you know, positive or lust, you know, to compare them, yeah. If you don't have the correct memory, if the kilesas are interrupting it, then say, oh, that was so nice, you know, and then it's gone. It's useless. This kind of memory is useless. Yeah? Oh, it was so bad. It's useless, this kind of memory. We just have to bring up the memory of the feeling, you know, to be able to compare pain, you know, with anger, with greed, you know, with anything. Yeah? Until we understand, you know, it's just a feeling. Yeah? Okay.